Are you tired of working with generic IT providers that rely on you to be the expert? Arc IT goes beyond just fixing your tech headaches. They specialize in proactive IT management, BIM support, and data security for architecture firms. The team at Arc IT gets your tech so you can focus on doing your best work. Whether you're a small firm of 10 or a growing practice with 50 or more employees, unleash the full potential of your creative vision with Arc IT. Visit getarcit.com and schedule your free IT assessment today. Hello, my name is Demetrius. This is Jason.
Morning.
And you're listening to Spaces Podcast Express. Thank you for coming back, everybody. Jason, you are a new pet parent.
Yes.
Yes, welcome to the club. How's it going so far?
You know, I actually posted something the other day. I kind of get why everybody enjoys, I don't know anything about cats, but enjoys having a dog. I call her Velcro dog because she kind of just, for the most part, goes wherever I'm at and isn't super hyper, isn't super, you know, whatever. But I swear to you, every time you come home or do whatever, it's like she's super pumped to see you, right? Yeah. Like the whole unconditional love thing and somebody being happy for you and whatever.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's been, you know, it's been a week and a half. It's a learning experience. It is no joke like having a toddler again. I mean, my, you know, for my wife especially, you know, our puppy Lemon, who's a Shepherd Rottweiler mix, really pretty dog.
Yeah.
She is 14 months, 14 weeks. So she's still, you know, relatively learning a lot of things.
Yeah.
For the most part, we've gotten her in a pretty good groove. We've been crate training, doing all that kind of stuff. She heads out to the garage gym with me at 4 a.m. You know, we go right out and do the bathroom thing. And so we've only had, like, I'll call it 1.5 accidents in the house, which yeah. I think is pretty good.
Yeah.
We have almost all tile in our house, which is great. So even if there is, it's not that big a deal. And I think it's been really good for the kids. You know, my daughter's really learning how, you know, the dominance thing.
Yeah.
Because, you know, she's the little one. So the pup wants to jump and she's, you know, she's strong dog with, when you consider the breed.
Yeah.
And she's just happy to see her, but learning how to do that, it's hard for a kid to kind of understand that. I think my wife's enjoying it, but also okay with it at the same time, because it's another thing she has to take care of. Right.
Yeah.
But the funny thing is what we're dealing with, I had to take her to the vet the other day. And I remember the first day I brought her home, she, like, you know, in a portable crate or whatever, you know, she peed and threw up and whatever, because everybody says, like, she freaked out and, you know, it's just scared and whatever. But on the way to the vet again, she threw up. So I know I'm dealing with a dog that has motion sickness. Mm-hmm. And I hear that's young, like a thing with young dogs, like they kind of grow out of it. It's kind of everybody's thing, but I can't, man. I'm just, like, it is not my thing. You know, and so I'm driving there. It's always right before I get somewhere. And so I'm just like, kind of like, stay back, like, stay out of it. Don't step in it. Don't do, you know,
yeah.
You know, it's just, it's a nightmare. I mean, obviously, like, they don't want to deal with it either.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's been very interesting and it's been a good experience so far, from, like I said, for the most part. And I guess we'll see. I mean, we're only a week and a half into it, really.
You know, almost 2 weeks. Dogs are fun, but you're going to run into some fun stories too, because they can get into some situations. I don't know if you've seen, like, the pictures on the internet of dogs getting stung in the mouth by bees, because no. They just, like, put their mouth. They don't understand.
On everything.
Yeah.
She's like, she's eating, like, bark right now, like rocks, like all these kind of things. And I'm just like, she's so smart.
Yeah.
I know she's smart because of how she reacts to things. But I'm like, how dumb are you? Like, stop doing that.
This morning, my wife took our dog out, and in our area, we have, like, a lot of ant activity. Mm-hmm. For whatever reason, like, 1-inch wide trail of ants running down the sidewalk, like, that much. And our dog goes right up and puts his face right in the trail of ants, and he's a long-haired dog, so I spent the morning combing ants out of his hair on his face and legs. So you got that coming for you.
Yeah, no, it's been, you know, she chases, we get crickets at our house, You know, so we'll put the, when she needs to like burn off some energy at night before we do, we'll turn the lights on outside and then she'll just chase these things forever.
Yeah.
And it's been kind of cool though. Like my son, you know, we're hockey players, obviously. And so he'll put like a hockey ball. She, instead of like a tennis ball, she likes these what are called like hockey balls. It's an outdoor roller hockey type deal. And she likes those, but he'll stick handle. And it's like this whole thing where he's moving around and she's chasing him like if you were dribbling a basketball type of deal.
Yeah.
And it's funny. I mean, it's making him better.
Yeah.
Because she's fast. And but then it burns her out too, and then all of a sudden you just see them stop and just be like, you know, and they're like done. They're like, I don't want to do this anymore. Like, I don't want a dog anymore. No more dog. You know what That's I mean? Like funny. That kind of thing. So it's I know we got a lot coming, but we'll keep you posted.
Yeah. So I want to pick up where we left off. We started to veer in our conversation on change orders, and started to talk about the industry sort of producing a least viable product all the time, and talking about how each area of the industry pushes back basically to, you know, maximize their profit by cutting costs somewhere. Sure. And I've always been frustrated with our industry in that way, that from the very jump of design, you're squeezing that as much as possible on the amount of time you can spend designing and thinking through things. Then you go into the what's called value engineering, where they're stripping pieces off and trying to bring the cost down, which is a whole nother thing that's frustrating because it's done way late in the process, which you're kind of, it kind of goes back to our change order and making changes and stripping things away. It creates havoc on the design and potential areas where information is lost and mistakes are made going through that whole process.
Right.
Then you go into the builders hiring their contractors and they're squeezing that part. And then the contractors have to squeeze their workers on their fees and get, you know, whoever is willing to do the cheapest. So this is this domino effect of constantly cutting back and cutting back and cutting back. How do you see that play from your side of being on the field? And you're coming in at sort of towards the end of it.
Yeah.
So you get the, there's a saying where the S,
end?
the S rolls down the hill or something like that.
For sure. You know, in, you know, obviously with the two different trades, cabinets and flooring are both towards the back, to your point. Cabinets doesn't get hit as bad only because there's a lot of other things that go along with it. Right. So,
well, do you see, I mean, continue your point, but also do you see sort of poor framing that was done because they're, you know, the cheapest person, that kind of stuff that affects your work?
So, I mean, like if, you know, I'm going to show you a really good example right now that we're dealing with a project in Northern California. There was multiple, we did cabinets up there, we're doing flooring or whatever. And long story short, the project, basically the owner got hit with fraud. And then it got turned over to another GC. So we're dealing with that changeover as well. And, you know, when we're on site and we're getting ready to install these cabinets, obviously everybody has agreed on drawings and schematics and everything else. And we get into the house and the project had been delayed and delayed and delayed and delayed, right? Multiple times. And you've got walls and soffits and everything that are just horrendous. And the reason being is because they had paid a framer to come do the work, weren't keeping up on the payments. So the framer kind of stopped doing his deal. And then they kind of decided, and they had the capability, I'm going to throw up air quotes and say capability. They had the capability to do the framing in-house. Well, that framing in-house essentially was what kept them moving forward, but the quality was just not good.
Yeah.
Just not good. And couple that with the fact that they also ended up having to do drywall in-house. You have walls and soffits that didn't get planed right, that didn't get shimmed right. So it's like everything. And just so people understand, when you put drywall on framing, you know, it was wood framing. So the studs sometimes are warped, twisted. So you plane them or you shave them down or add cardboard shims behind them before you put on the drywall. So you get a flat plumb wall or close to plumb. And so they're not at all. And, you know, we're pointing
a lot of that.
Yeah. And we're pointing these things out and it's a 100 unit multifamily podium, right? And we're pointing these things out as we're doing the install almost 2 years ago. And they're like, okay, well, we'll come back and we'll just refloat the soffits and we'll do this and that, whatever, because you put a piece of straight crown on it, right? And the straight crown flexes on the x-axis, but not the y-axis, right? So when you put it up against the soffit, you see the soffit wiggling like crazy. So, and we're like, yeah, you guys are gonna have to do something, because even if we caulked it, it wouldn't, which we normally would do, but it just would look terrible. So, you know, the owner's like, that's fine, we'll come back, we'll float it, we'll fix the walls, we'll do this and that, just keep going. We'll come now to the new GC and the new owner, and they're like, hey, you guys need to fix this. And I'm like, there's no way I can fix this. Like, this is what you inherited from your old owner. This is not a defect on the cabinet side. It's a straight piece of product. Like, my crown is more straight than your soffit is. That's the problem. Yeah. You know, like, so you get into this whole clash back and forth with the new owners and the trades and whatnot. But ultimately, it's because they ended up using subpar labor, didn't really know what to do because they had to fix a financial issue, and which just compounds and leads down the way, right? So if you couldn't fix it before, how are you going to fix it after around a bunch of finished material? I'm not real sure how that works, but you know, it is what it is. So I've seen it. That's a really good example. A lot of times they use, you know, what we've had to do before where we respect for a certain product, to your point, finish wise, whether it was a 3/4 inch plywood box or whatever. And now they're going, okay, well, how much would I save if I went to a 5/8 inch particle box, which is totally the standard, but it's not as good as material as a 3/4 plywood, because they can save $1,000 a unit. You know what I mean? And it's like, you start off with these ideas of grandeur and I want to do this and here's my budget. Well, it keeps getting needled down as they screw up or whatever happens, or cost of materials go up, cost of labor goes up. Okay, well, how do I get with the look, but for way less now?
Yeah.
And so you start dealing with that. You eliminate drawer banks because drawer banks are more expensive than a regular cabinet, you know, all those kind of things. And then as you get further down, you get into the flooring side, which is like, should be one of the very last things you do. And specs start changing. So let's take a multifamily building. Instead of having a whole downstairs floor of tile, they're like, well, tell you what, let's do the entry and the lobby in tile, and let's do the rest in carpet. You know what I mean? Because carpet is 1/8 the cost, let's say, of all the hard surface. And it's faster, and, you know, quicker install, all that kind of stuff and whatever. And if you have to replace it, it's way cheaper. But so you start seeing a lot of that happen. On the other side, you get into situations where we don't do this. I personally won't do this. So I'd rather walk off a job or just not get a job. But there's other guys that say, like, okay, let's say they supply a product and it's $55,000 for whatever they got to do. We're like, well, we can't pay you 55. We're going to pay 50. Now, where I'm going to stay there is I'm going to say, look, you know, maybe I can get to 54 or 53, whatever it is, by taking out some of what I can do. But they're like, no, it has to be 50. It has to be 50. I'm like, well, I can't do it. Like I need to pay my guys what they need to make, and, you know, they're worth it and everything else. But a lot of people will be like, all right, fine. And they'll just take the number and then go find a trade that will take the money to do that. Well, you usually end up working with people you don't know, or now you're not willing to pay a guy the right wage. And, you know, and you can vacillate on what the right wage is. Like, some people have a different mindset about that. But I'll tell you what's happening. The owner that's supplying the trade work isn't taking a hit. He's usually giving the hit to his workers. And so that builds disdain. You know, the guys go in there and instead of making the cut like it should be cut, maybe it's, you know, maybe they leave it 1/8 inch bigger than it should be, you know, or maybe if they're supplying the materials, instead of going with the premium shelf stuff, they go with the not so premium shelf stuff. And would there really be an issue? I don't know, but we know it's not as good as it could be, or probably was priced out to be and expected to be. So you start looking at things like that, and, you know, you can really degrade a project. Now, that doesn't mean it's always going to be bad. I mean, that doesn't mean the everything's going to fall off and come out, you know, whatever, but it's kind of about the principle, I think, right? Now, the other side could look at you and say, well, shouldn't you just price it out that way anyway? If nothing's going to, I'm like, yeah, but then they're going to come back and ask for more anyway. Like, it's kind of how it goes, no matter how you do this. You know what I mean? So, but I've seen, you see it all the time. I mean, it happens all the time in all trades, in all trades. And especially given the current market environment right now, where you can't get some materials because they're sitting on the, you know, boats out in all the ports right now. It literally becomes like, what can you get? That is what all the builders are doing. And I think they're getting like product, whether it's doors, garage doors, base. But I know even in some regards, just because of supply, where you would normally have, like, let's say a shelf system in a pantry or a linen closet, instead of it being like painted MDF, I mean, it's like painted particle board now. You know what I mean? Like stuff like that. So, you know, it's, and that's not really their fault. It's the only thing they get their hands on to close a house, but, you know, switches like that happen every day, and I'm pretty sure they're not giving discounts to buyers. You know what I
Oh,
mean? Like,
yeah, for sure.
right? I mean, it's just kind of the way it is.
And last, I want to say it goes in like a 10-year cycle, 10 to 20-year cycle, where there's this big push of homes that are going out, and like 10 to 20 years later, there's a whole slew of lawsuits for those homes.
Yeah, it's like 9 years and change just before 10.
So I feel like we're probably going to hit that again in, almost
Yeah,
10 years from now.
I think you're right because it's usually at the end of a run-up,
Yeah.
right? So the run-up in this market's been close to 10 at
Yeah.
this point, right? So you're going to see all that, but you usually get pulled in the class actions and all this kind of stuff. And let me tell you, like from personal experience, having walked in some of these houses that are making the complaints,
Yeah.
bro, I don't know how people live this way. Like the ones that are making the complaints are like telling, so I can speak from the flooring trade specifically. Like, oh, the carpet's pulling away from the whatever, it's coming up and blah, blah, blah. And you look at it, dude, it's been soaked and soiled and like never cleaned and all this kind of stuff. And you just want to look at the lawyer that's out there and just be like, you piece of, that's what they do. And it's just not okay. But you're right, those all come up.
Yeah.
And but the lawsuit probably in this situation will be, well, hey, we expected this and we paid for this, even though I think there's going to be disclosures they have to sign when they close the house, but there will be those situations.
Well, there's also like water intrusion lawsuits where mold is growing because cut corner somewhere of how to flash a window. Like a lot of
Well,
that stuff happens.
yeah, and I know out in production right now, like there's been a lot of plumbing leaks.
Yeah.
Because not so much because of product, but because there's not, you know, this goes back to other stuff we talked about. There's not the skilled labor.
Yeah.
So you got newer guys that are out there doing different things. And these days, everything's those PEX connections, you
Yeah.
know? And they're all like, I mean, I've dealt with multiple flooded out homes where we've had to replace a lot of stuff. And they're all blowing up these elbows or tees or connections. And it's basically just somebody doesn't know fully what they're doing.
Yeah.
You know, going too fast because there's not enough labor and they got to jump into different houses or just not. You know, it's on the learning curve.
Yeah. So what do we do about that, about this whole situation? How does this get fixed? My
It
and
doesn't. It doesn't.
I think it does, but it has to be someone that does it, like an individual company, an individual person that has to do it, has to be very successful at it, and has to be open to sharing how they did it. And there's probably people out there already that are doing this very well, but it's just not well known of the system. I think that there has to be a lot of investment in your planning and like investing the time and the money up front to pay people well, to get the right team, to understand having all of your decision makers in the room early to say what the budget is, to set expectations, to do all of that early rather than going forward, taking 10 steps back, kind of jerking forward a little bit, diverting to the right, and then throwing whatever cheap labor you can to push it out and finish it.
See, here's the thing. If we would have had this conversation 2 years ago, I probably would have been saying the exact same thing you're saying. 100%. I mean, like, this is how you have to do it. This is how it works. Like it makes sense, right? However, dealing with what I've had to deal with in the past, I'll call it at least a year. I don't want to quite go all the way to the back of COVID, but like, let's call it a year with the different supply chain shortages, appreciation, cost of land going up, material costs skyrocketing. You know, shortage and late, you know, whether it's manufactured or not, shortage and labor. There are certain things you can't plan for. So I would tell you, you probably could have had the best laid plan and it just got shot to crap. And there's no way. Now, I think this is a bit extreme. And I think this is certainly an outlier of sorts. May not be if we continue this route to communism. Oh, can I drop
Jeez.
that? have that discussion. But ultimately, I know socialist first, then communist, but whatever. The
No.
ultimately, you can't plan for this. And so there's only two things I can give right now, right? Either the cost of materials and labor comes down, which is impossible because the supply and demand doesn't support that, right? Basic economics. The second part is the land sellers. So the land sellers would then have to come back and be like, you know what, we'll go ahead and take a haircut to allow you to keep building. Well, there's only one precious resource that we occupy in this world that God is no longer making any more of,
and that's land. Mm-hmm. As we continue to buy it and soak it up and produce on it, inevitably the supply of it goes down. And so the guys that are going to have to let go of that, I don't see them making some kind of deal where they hold the hottest commodity there is. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So I think there's certain economics that come into play that don't actually allow a lot of that. Now I'll go back to what you're saying, because like I said, 2 years ago, I would have agreed with you. I'd prefer they do what we are on the same page on for the vast majority. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's enough of that. I still think their departments, from what I see on the outside, are too fractured, from land to purchasing to construction and everything swelled back in between. Right.
Yeah.
I don't think there's enough coordination there to make that happen. Or I'm sorry, I don't think there's enough coordination there to stop this from happening.
Yeah.
And I think it does. I think it has to be a private company, to be honest with you, that starts it. That's small enough, that has enough hands into it. I think usually they are pretty involved. Mm-hmm. When you start getting into public money, and it just pushes and pushes and pushes and pushes, and it's literally just get the money and pump it in and get it out. And I would argue with you, it's not necessarily a profitability play, it's a revenue play. Mm-hmm. So there's a big difference. And as I've learned over the last few years, especially with those big publics, which they're all kind of conglomerates at this point, that's why I know it's got to dissolve to a certain degree.
Yeah.
There's this huge run up and they all know a cliff's coming. Mm-hmm. They don't know when. And so I think we talked about a couple episodes was, you can't be the guy that's running around calling, you know, like Chicken Little, you're going to get axed and they're going to put somebody else in there that wants you to be the puppet that just keeps buying and pushing until at some point it drops off. Cause then they'll take their impairments and, you know, tax write-offs and all these other kind of things and not be hurt as bad as like we talked about the rest of the trades.
Yeah.
So they're not dumb, you know, but I think you can make it better. Mm-hmm. And then I think there are certain times, especially when it just gets into the final stages, call it the last 20% of a run-up, where, I mean, it's a free for all to a certain degree. It's just get as much built as you can so we can get as much money out of this as possible. While we still can. This industry, how many times have you heard it is cyclical?
It shouldn't be, though, and I don't think it needs to. It's whatever.
I'm not sure. I mean, right? Usually, I was pretty sure on this stuff before with you. It's like, you know, I would normally be on the page that you're on, having run businesses and having to, you know, deal with business plans and projections and costs and all these things that are involved, labor in two different ways, right? Mm-hmm. I have the ideal that if I can identify what the end game is and who the players are on the field, that I can put together a pretty damn good solution. Like, I really feel that way and I'm integrated with the teams. But right now, when I have a vendor every day calling me and saying, hey, your costs are going up, hey, your costs are going up, hey, your costs are going up, I'm like, your guys' service is shit. Why would I pay you more right now? Mm-hmm. I don't have a choice unless we decided to stop, which some builders did.
Yeah.
They just stopped. So maybe that's an answer too, right?
Yeah.
But those were private money builders as well.
Yeah, I think the private money is a big issue in the industry as well, but we'll have to get to that some other time.
Yeah.
But thank you for jumping on, Jason. Yeah. Thank you to the listeners for listening, and we'll talk again on Thursday. Thanks. Thanks again for listening. Spaces is part of the Gable Media Network. You can check out similar content at gablemedia.com. That's gablemedia.com. If you enjoy our show, you can support us in three simple ways for free. You can leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or on your podcast app if it allows you to. Tell a friend and follow us on social media. Thanks for spending time with us. Talk soon.
Calling all AEC professionals. Get ready for unparalleled professional insights with detailed and original podcasts by RCAT. This is the podcast that brings you the untold stories and lessons learned behind the design and delivery of a building project. Hey, it's Charisse Lakeside, aka the CSI Kraken, and your host. Join me as we dive deep into the tales of conflict, triumph, and sheer ingenuity.
Yeah, so when Serena was named for the, it was going to be named for the building, you know, we really were able to work with teams at Nike branding and how to really infuse her influence and identity in the very public spaces.
Detailed features architects, engineers, builders, and manufacturers who spill the beans on the most complex, interesting, and downright odd building conditions they've encountered.
Another challenge of the shuttle is actually putting it in launch position is how you brace that seismically. It's really supported by only two pins at the base of the booster rockets. And there's a large base isolator that's underneath the shuttle that kind of prevents it from moving too much in an earthquake.
When you have 600 people or 300 people in a room, acoustically, you really need a high floor to floor so that you can have the right acoustic environment for people to be able to talk and that speech intelligibility is really good.
Every episode unveils lessons learned and connects you to the products you need to navigate similar challenges. Follow the link in the show notes to subscribe to Detailed today and be prepared for the unexpected on your next project. Every building has a story, and we are here to tell it.